January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, so I want to talk. I want to thank two legislators who are sponsoring the Sexually Exploited Children Protection Act for joining us for a Newsmakers. Thank you, Senator Tonya Johnson, Democrat representing Milwaukee's 6th District. Representative Jill Billings represents the 95th from La Crosse. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
To underscore the importance of this issue, I asked a veteran Madison detective who works on this issue for her thoughts, and she couldn't be here because of a family commitment. So let's open in terms of understanding the seriousness of this show by just reading this statement from the detective. She called it, human trafficking is the new drug. The commercial sex industry of our youth is happening in every community. Any child may be vulnerable to such a person who promises to meet his or her emotional and physical needs. These children will remain loyal to the exploiter, even in the face of severe victimization, Gangs are moving towards selling children, which they see as a renewable commodity, rather than selling drugs. So thank you to Detective Maya for that. Is this what you're hearing in your communities? You're on our Minnesota border, and you're from, of course, Milwaukee. So tell me what you've heard from your local police or child protective or prosecutors, please.
We're definitely hearing that in Milwaukee, as a matter of fact. Just a little bit over a year and a half ago, I talked to a representative who said that they were looking at two gangs.
Two gangs.
With their connections to drugs and guns and also human trafficking. Because you have to think about the sex trade as being a world where there's very little consequences for the pimps or the perpetrators. Most of the consequences fall to the women who are being sold. And when you talk about child sex crimes, you're talking about very little consequences for anyone involved. We're starting to see situations and circumstances where some parents are selling and trading their kids for drug to support their drug habits.
I was going to ask, the connection between our heroin epidemic, parents are selling children, Senator?
Parents are selling children. As a matter of fact, before Act 367, we saw the role how if the perpetrator wasn't a parent or a guardian or a caretaker, then the Department of Children and Families didn't have to get involved and investigate the crime, because they saw an influx of parents selling their kids to support their drug habits, which made that a very unfortunate situation for those children involved in the commercial sex acts, because there were cases where the parent wasn't involved. These kids disappeared from the streets, or they fell in love with the wrong individual and saw the perpetrator as their boyfriend or as someone who took care of them rather than an actual related family member. So the need was to make sure that we protected these kids at all costs, regardless of the situation. These were children who were being sold, and they needed help.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience, Representative. What are you hearing from Western Wisconsin?
Well, in the outstate areas of Wisconsin, there is human trafficking of children that's happening, too. So there was a report 2 years ago during hunting season of two girls being sold out of a cabin that was being rented up north to hunters that were up in that area. We've seen human trafficking in my area of the state. Anywhere along the interstate or a main highway arterial, kids are being transported and sold.
Young girls for a hunting cabin in a county up north. That surprises me, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised at the extent of any of this. Where does Wisconsin, you're on the Minnesota border, does Wisconsin have tougher or lax laws on the issue of human trafficking, Representative?
Well, historically, we have not done as well as the states around us. There's been some work that's been done lately by Representative Loudenbeck on the Republican side, by Senator Johnson, who is then Representative Johnson, and I on the Democratic side. Senator Harsdorf has also worked with us And we're just some of the people, and there are many of us, who have concern about human trafficking in Wisconsin. So we're doing better. Minnesota had a really nice model that I studied. I went over and talked to one of their navigators, a regional person. They divided the state up into regions. They had one person who was the head, who was really overseeing human traffic issues, the data, the education that needed to be done, this looking at the situation that existed in the state. Wisconsin looked at that model, and we're doing better now. We've divided up into regions. We've learned from Minnesota, so hopefully we'll have a system in place that's even better. We do have a person who is the head of kind of looking after human services issues in the Department of Children and Family. So we have made great progress, in part because of federal money and federal legislation that came down, and also some commitment of state money. We've also created, we're creating another place for kids to go to keep them safe, to help them change their thinking and change their behavior. You know, after being under the manipulation, coercion, and intimidation of someone who is selling them mm-hmm. for a long period of time, damage has been done. And these kids need mental health treatment. They need health treatment. And so we're developing another facility to help with that, too, and build our capacity.
You mentioned Representative Amy Loudenbeck and Senator Harsdorf, who couldn't be here because of another scheduling commitment. She's also a co-sponsor of the bill. And so you, too. Here's my question. Do male legislators just not get the importance of this?
No, I think male legislators do get the importance of this. I think human trafficking is a difficult issue to tackle on so many levels because it's so many facets. And the individuals who are involved in these crimes, especially when you talk about child victims, they have so many issues that they're dealing with. Most of these children have been abused before they enter the commercial sex trades. I think it's something like 70 to 90% of them have been sexually abused before. And so for some individuals, it's just difficulty understanding the mindset of these victims. But we have male colleagues that sign on to this bill. The question is, for some individuals, is to what extent are we going to be able to help? Because to help these children the way that they need to be helped with the resources that they need, that costs money. It costs money, it costs time, it costs investment, and sometimes I think that's a reluctancy for some individuals in terms of being able to sign on to legislation such as this.
I agree with Senator Johnson that we have had support from men mm-hmm. on both sides of the aisle, but this is something that we feel strongly about, and I don't think it's that the men in our caucuses don't care about it. I think it's just that for us, this mm-hmm. is a passion that we have really pushed this agenda and pushed the idea that we've got to do more for kids that suffer from human trafficking in Wisconsin.
What are you hearing in terms of, are we talking 12-year-olds, 13, 14-year-olds? Is there an average demographic? And what percentage of them are female?
The average demographic is 13.
Age 13.
And in Wisconsin, we have a very small window to find, rescue, and save these young women because at the age of 17, they're considered adults. So you're talking about any charges that these children would encounter after age 17 goes onto their adult records. Now, for example, in Milwaukee, teenage pregnancy is going down, but children under the age of 12, from 9 to 12-year-olds in terms of pregnancies, are going up.
The birth rate among 9 to 12-year-olds in Milwaukee is going up, Senator?
Yes. And that's a huge concern because when you think about these children not being able to physically give consent, legally give consent until age 18, then that's a huge issue. And so because the window is so small for these children, and a lot of times for human trafficking victims, they aren't discovered immediately as human trafficking victims. You see records of truancy, shoplifting, because they enter this realm and they typically get arrested for other crimes or ticketed for other crimes. It usually takes a couple of interactions with law enforcement before they really discover that they're human trafficking victim. And the other issue as to why safe harbor is needed so desperately in the state is that, you know, there have been some improvements to human trafficking over the years, but the expungement piece. In this state, even if your case is expunged, per state records, you still have to check the box and admit that you have been convicted of a crime, even if the case is expunged. Even if it's been expunged by state law, you still have to say that, yes, you have been convicted
when
of a crime.
When you apply for jobs or apply for school or something like that. Excuse me for interrupting you.
Yes. And that can be the sticker for these kids getting access to jobs, financial aid, low-income housing. And we're locking up children who can't legally give consent.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. These children are victims. There's no reason that they should be treated as perpetrators or like they've done anything wrong.
Which is why, summarize the bill that, now your co-sponsors can sign on, I think, through Friday, but summarize the change that your bill would make, please, Representative.
There's a lot of action going on right now in the Capitol, so we're actually going to extend the deadline for legislators to sign on, but we've had a lot of interest in the bill. Currently, if a child is found by law enforcement to have been trafficked or to have been sold, they can arrest the child for prostitution. Now, this really isn't congruent with what I think it doesn't make sense with law, because a child can't legally agree to have sex. When a child is in a situation where they're being human trafficked, they're being raped. So why are we taking that victim and then arresting them and charging them with prostitution? Now, in the past, before we had our legislation last year,
right, which I also want you to summarize later.
Okay.
On. Excuse me.
All right. Some law enforcement felt that they needed to arrest kids to keep them safe. Now, talking to my law enforcement and my DA, mm-hmm. they said, no, we don't think that we need to do that. We have a child advocacy center in La Crosse. There was an occasion when they found two girls that were being trafficked out by the interstate. They brought them into the child advocacy center. They could be interviewed there. They can be put in a shelter or foster care or a safe place. We can take those kids away from the person who is selling them, the perpetrator, and keep them safe without arresting the kids. We created legislation in the last session that said if a child is found to be human trafficked, that Human Services, Child Protective Services, mm-hmm. needs to step in. And as of May, there will be social workers in all counties who are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if law enforcement finds a child that's being trafficked, there is a safer way of bringing them in, getting them services. And other states have found is that kids are more likely to cooperate if they're not arrested and immediately put in that adversarial position, but rather taken into given services, so that they're much more likely to tell the story behind what's happened to them and who has done it.
When someone is being trafficked, is separated from the person who is selling them, what level of support services are available in this big state, ranging from Milwaukee to La Crosse? Maybe are there fewer services up north for that child who's been trafficked? Is there a wide disparity?
I think there is a wide disparity, because the first thing that these kids need to have access to once they've been found to be human trafficking victims, they need access to medical care. They need screening, medical screening, to make sure that their reproductive health is okay. The second thing that they're going to need counseling. They're going to need housing. They're going to need food and shelter. Sometimes returning these kids home, especially if they come from an abusive environment, is not the key. Because if these children are runaways, they're going to run away again when they're back in that same familiar environment that was taking advantage of them in the first place. When you look at cities like Milwaukee, They anticipated that about five victims are referred on a monthly basis mm-hmm. as victims in that city. If you multiply that times 12, you're talking about a total of 60 victims annually. And to provide treatment for these individuals at a sum of about 12 months is usually normal stay, an average of $466 a day. You're looking at roughly anywhere from $2.7 million just to provide services to 60 girls. When you look outside of Milwaukee County, the numbers are a lot more vague because the Milwaukee Department of Children and Families, they've started to do a really good job of trying to flag these victims as they come in, mm-hmm. whereas the rest of the county hasn't been that successful at doing that.
And it, like similar efforts in western Wisconsin, observing?
I'll have to say within the last year or two, the Department of Children and Family and the Department of Justice have both created task forces to and subgroups within their task force to really look at this issue and give it the attention that it needs. And I have appreciated that. They've divided the state into regions. They're piloting a hub. And we're not sure where it's going to be in the state yet. Possibly my area of the state. That's the place where you can get help. That's the center for information, for kind of keeping track of what's happening with these kids, and providing services. We are doing better. There's still work to be done, and that's why we're gonna keep on it.
You're going to keep your pedal to the metal. It does, in this budget year, come down to money. So are you looking for a special line item in the budget, either in the Department of Justice or the Department of Children and Families? We've got a budget coming up here, and mm-hmm. The governor is going to, of course, be presenting his budget on February 8th. Mm-hmm. So what are the fiscal ramifications of this working on this problem?
Well, roughly $12.8 million has already been set aside to deal with human trafficking. The bill was passed last session.
Was that federal or state money?
State money. So according to federal law, Wisconsin had to codify the laws that we already have with federal law in order to maintain funding. And so last session, the bill was passed, Act 367, but the physical estimate doesn't take place until this upcoming
budget cycle.
Exactly.
Fiscal 18-19?
Yes.
Excuse me.
But now the safe harbor, because we already have so much of what's needed in place already, the safe harbor piece is the last piece that we need to get these girls the help that they need. Okay. And that just basically says that rather than treat these children as perpetrators, we're going to treat them as victims. And, you know, for some individuals or for some law enforcement entities, they don't want to give up their ability to be able to prosecute these victims because they want to be able to basically say either you cooperate or else.
Okay.
Cooperate or we're going to send you to jail. But that is in direct conflict with what we're trying to get these children to see that they are, which are victims. You don't arrest a victim. You don't send these girls or these children to counseling saying that, you know, you've been taken advantage of, but then say at the same time, if you don't cooperate, we are going to lock you up. They're in direct conflict with each other.
Do you think that the concerns of the DAs will make this a tough bill to pass, Representative?
I think when talking to the Attorney General, we had a really good conversation on this legislation, and he's running it by some more people. As I've talked to certainly DAs and law enforcement in my area, they're on board. There are still some people in the state. I think 23 or 24 kids were arrested for prostitution last year. So there are still some people who feel like they need to do that. I think part of this is education. I think we need to have it uniform. I don't think it's fair that because you happen to be in a case in a county like La Crosse County, you don't run that risk of being arrested. But if you're in another county, you may be. There is $6 million that the Department of Children and Family have put in for a budget request. We'll see. I'm excited to see what the governor reveals and to see if that money is included for care of children that are brought in from human trafficking. I think we need to do education with kids. That's a big thing that to help them with feeling secure and confident in who they are and to know the signs of who to be careful of. I know that the faith community has been a great voice on this in the Capitol and helped us with this legislation in the past, and they are engaged and ready to serve as a strong voice for us, along with some of the judges. My judge, Judge Gonzalez, has been a great advocate for us. And so I'm feeling cautiously optimistic about this legislation and the future for kids that are human trafficked.
And Senator Harsdorf, of course, as a member of the Joint Finance Committee, so you've got an ally there.
Yeah.
But you don't understand, or you don't know yet whether the governor is going to include this in the budget.
I think the number one detail that we're missing is how many children are we talking about? Because the numbers can range widely. You know, like I said, from $2.7 million for Milwaukee alone up to anywhere to 12.8, depending on how many other kids are discovered outside Milwaukee County. And so I think once the implementation starts and we start to see how many children we're actually dealing with, then the money will become more readily available. I do believe that there is going to be a significant amount budgeted for in this upcoming budget because they can't not do it because federal law requires it.
Right. Otherwise, it'd be out of compliance with federal law.
Exactly. So the situation is just going to be how much are they going to provide?
As you have been approached by police and Child Protective Services and DAs, have you heard any stories that just have absolutely broken your heart on victims of human trafficking? Anything you want to relate tactfully?
There was a victim of human trafficking. He was a 12-year-old little boy. And he was sent to a residential care facility. And he arrived by van transportation. This little boy arrived with no paperwork. And so when they took this little boy into the residential care facility, he's supposed to come with paperwork saying, you know, who he is, what his issues are, his triggers. They sent him downstairs to go to sleep. He was in a room by himself, which is normal standard protocol. But he said that he was having problems sleeping because he was scared. So they moved him upstairs to a room where there were other children. This little boy was sexually assaulted that same night. And this was a 12-year-old human trafficking victim that was taken in and then sexually assaulted where he was supposed to be safe. On top of that, this little boy was given prophylactics for HIV medication as a form of prophylactic to prevent him from contracting AIDS because he was sexually promiscuous. This little boy had a history of being a human trafficking victim for a very long time. On top of that, on top of being dropped off with no paperwork, he was dropped off without his medication. So in the meantime, because of this little boy's tendency and because of how he grew up, he continued to perform services. He would go AWOL at a certain time every day. And long story short, these are children that we are supposed to protect.
Yes.
These kids are supposed to be safest within our custody. But even in some instances, even when they are taken in by the state and rescued, we're not necessarily following through on everything we should be to ensure their safety. That was a huge issue and concern for me.
That's
because how many other children are out there like that?
What a tragedy.
It's hard to, it's hard for me to find a story because the face of human trafficking can be so varied, so I don't want people to assume that there's a certain stereotype.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we know that most of these kids have suffered sexual abuse in their past. You know, some are taken off the street where they feel like they've had to leave home for their safety, and now they're out in the street and they get into a desperate situation where, you know, whether they're couch surfing or someone comes by in a car and kind of gets to know them, and they start to depend on somebody who is not a good person to depend on. It can start with coercion of, I'm really your boyfriend, you can come and stay at my house, and then a sub-zero night temperature night, all of a sudden you're expected to do more. Mm-hmm. It can be someone who is taken away, put into a room with bars on the window, with other mattresses on the floor and other kids, or shipped down, taken down to Texas, and or around different circuits, and sold over and over and over again in many different states. So it's a varied picture. You know, there was a girl who was at a party, was roofied, pictures were taken, she was blackmailed then by people into performing different acts. It can be really a lot of different horrific situations. But those kids need our understanding, and they need our help.
You both pretty optimistic that this is going to pass. After all, we would be out of compliance with federal law, so you're pretty optimistic we can get this done?
Act 367 has already passed. The safe harbor piece, we are still working on. And, you know, the reality is that we want it to pass the session because we want these kids to get the help necessary. But the reality is that we're not going to stop introducing this bill until it does pass, because the kids in the state, they deserve better.
Thank you.
Yeah, we simply, now that we have the services for the kids, we have the capacity to take care of them. We don't need to arrest them to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And children that are human trafficked are victims. They are not criminals, and they shouldn't be treated as criminals.
Thank you. Senator, while you're here, can I ask you about your gun
sure.
bill? That would, let's see. It would make it a felony for anyone who has had 3 misdemeanor convictions in 5 years to possess a gun, point one. Making a felony to buy a gun for someone to give to someone else, which is straw purchasing, and it would make lying about being a straw purchaser a felony. Will this reduce gun deaths in Milwaukee, Senator?
We're hoping so, because what we're seeing in Milwaukee is that you have a lot of individuals that are arrested, 15,000 felony arrests within the city of Milwaukee within a year. A lot of those cases are pleaded down to misdemeanors, and some of these individuals are arrested multiple times. They're never charged with a felony. It's always a misdemeanor. In this state, the only thing that prevents you from being a concealed carry holder is if you've been convicted of a felony or domestic violence misdemeanor, and that's prohibited by federal law. What we're trying to get at is those habitual offenders who have had run-ins with the law multiple times, but they don't have anything to disqualify them from being a concealed carry holder.
Okay.
And even those individuals who are continuously found to be in possession of a gun, which is not a felony, it's only a misdemeanor if that gun isn't being used in a crime, we're trying to get those individuals who have a habitual history with law enforcement from owning and carrying a gun. And in this environment, sometimes the only way to do that is to make sure that if after 3 times of being convicted of a misdemeanor, if you're caught carrying a gun, then it becomes a felony. And in this environment, you know, I'm not anti-gun at all. But sometimes in this environment, it's really difficult to get at any gun legislation because of the circumstances that we live in right now.
Well, from Wisconsinized interviews with Chief Flynn, this is the bill he's been trying to get passed for 3, 4, or 5 years, isn't it, Senator?
It is the bill that he's been trying to get passed. As a matter of fact, I took a stab at the bill last session, but it was worded differently. It was for individuals who had been found guilty of violent misdemeanors.
Okay.
And, you know, but there are some individuals who aren't necessarily being found guilty of violent misdemeanors, but you do see a history. You see an escalation of the crimes that they're being convicted of. And this basically says, per state statute, it already exists that if you are convicted of 3 or more misdemeanors over the course of 5 years, you are considered a habitual criminal, and the penalties can be enhanced.
Okay.
So that's what we're pulling on.
Thank you. Are you a co-sponsor yet, or still studying this bill?
I actually just read it last night.
Okay.
It looks like a good bill to me, but I haven't signed on yet.
Okay, thank you. We've been interviewing the 2 sponsors, 2 of the many sponsors of the Sexually Exploited Children Protection Act, Senator Tanya Johnson, 6th District of Milwaukee, Representative Jill Billings, Democrat from La Crosse, 95th District. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.